Say good afternoon, overcomer. Come on, say with a smile. Say good afternoon, overcomer.
Good afternoon.
God has called you an overcomer, and that's who you are.
Amen.
We're beginning a new month, and therefore beginning a new series. And here is what I believe God wants us to be addressing in the course of this month: living the life you ought to live. Everybody say, living the life you ought to live as a child of God. See, there is a life, there is a direction that I believe that we need to be going as God's children. There is something that is right. There is something that is expected. There is something that is appropriate for the child of God.
Amen.
See, the word ought could be used both in the negative and in the positive sense. Somebody could take something and you go to that person and say, you ought not to have taken that. Somebody could be left out of a situation and you go to that person and you say, you ought not to have been left out. Now, there is an ought in the positive sense from my study of the Word of God that belongs to the child of God.
Amen.
There are things that ought to be yours. There are things you ought to have a right to.
Come on now.
There are things you ought to have a right to say.
Yeah.
There are places you ought to have a right to go to, even if the devil stands on the way. So how do I live the life that I ought to live? What kind of life ought I to live as a child of God? That's what we want to begin to answer this month. But friends, the place where it begins is in your thoughts. How you operate in the part of your life that nobody sees or knows but you and God. You see, the child of God has resources that are in the spiritual that needs to be harnessed and brought into the physical. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now, the way to harness our spiritual resources is by making a spiritual connection. And what is a spiritual connection? Now, when we make the spiritual connection, we bring to bear on the earth that which is available for us in the spiritual. Now, but when a child of God, either out of ignorance or out of a lack of faith, is not harnessing those spiritual resources, they don't live the life they should live in the physical.
Amen.
But I declare in the name of Jesus today that your story has changed beginning from now.
Amen.
That you know what your right is, you will have the grace to demand it, and you will have the privilege of enjoying it.
Amen.
You believe me? Say louder, amen.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me. Say louder, amen.
Amen.
Now, friends, there are things we ought to enjoy. There are things that ought not to bother us. There are things that ought not to be a problem to us.
Amen.
And I'm praying that as we explore these things by the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, we will be so equipped to stand up in the place where we ought to be standing.
Amen.
You believe it? Say louder, amen.
Amen.
Our first subject of discussion this morning is, I said, using your relationship rights. Everybody say relationship rights. Say use your relationship rights. You see, in the art, in what you belong, what belongs to you, the first stage of it is what gives you the audacity into that bigger picture. And by the word of God, the first thing is your relationship right. Everybody say relationship right. Now you see, when you have a relationship, that relationship gives you certain rights. Okay, let me give you an illustration. A group of people were in the office of an important person. Some of you have been there, either going to see a doctor, for example, or you go down to the mayor's office, or you go to the office of a CEO of a company, or some of those people. Usually when you get in there, what do? You write your name on a waiting list, is that right?
Yeah.
And you wait. So picture in a room, 10 people are waiting. Some are waiting for 10 minutes, others for 20. Sometimes, depending on what the situation is, you're waiting for longer. Because it's important for you to get to see the person behind the closed door, you wait. So a group of people were waiting in this office. And here comes an 11-year-old, knocks at the door and opens, and everybody was sitting around the place waiting. He looks over at the secretary, walks straight to the door, pushes it open, and goes in. And everybody who's been waiting looks at her like, how can we all be sitting here? And the little boy just walks in and goes in. She said, don't look at me. That's her father.
Amen.
I mean, that's his dad.
Amen.
Somebody say relationship rights.
Relationship.
He didn't need to put his name down on any book. He didn't need to wait on any line. You know why? Because his dad was behind the closed door.
Amen.
Even though there was a meeting in his father's office, guess what? His relationship with the person sitting on that desk gave him first position to be attending to, no matter what was going on.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor for me, you need to recognize. Come and talk to someone and say, you need to recognize your rights of relationship. Friends, when you have a relationship with somebody, there are certain rules that don't apply to you.
That's right.
Can I say it again? When you have a relationship with somebody, there are certain rules that don't apply to you. Friends, if I walk into your house, even though your pastor, I sit in the living room, and you are in the bedroom, maybe trying to take care of something, your child walks in, guess what she does or what he does? He can walk straight into the bedroom. Why? Come on, talk to me. Why? You see, certain rules don't apply to certain people. Because of what? Talk to me. Say relationship rights. See, if you know your right in the relationship, there are certain things others cannot do. You will smile and walk through them.
Come on now.
Are you following where we're going with this? So friends, I need you to understand that as a child of God, there are certain rights you have as a child of God. So you need to learn what those rights are and use them. Some of us have been misinformed, Mrs. Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Because religion has taught us some things that are not in the Bible.
Yeah.
Now we are taught humility, which is perfect according to the word. But we misapply humility many times. No child in a house goes hungry When there is food in the house.
Okay, you didn't hear me. Let me say it again.
I said, if there is food in your house and you are a child in that house, you don't go hungry. And you don't beg for food in that house. Okay. Can I say it another way? Many of us grew up in situations where our mama had something extra for every person that walks through the door. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? They will make food, and anybody who knocks at the door, they have something small somewhere that they will pull out and give.
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
Some of you are like that today.
Yes.
But no mother I know will have food for a stranger and don't have food for their children.
Come on now. Amen.
Okay, did you get what I just said?
Yes.
Every mother, no matter how generous they are, when they finish cooking, the one that gets the first serve, talk to me somebody, is the child.
Yes.
Tell neighbor for me. Talk to neighbor. I want you to get this. Say, neighbor.
You are
the
child
of God.
You
got the first dish.
Oh,
come on. The Bible states this. Dogs eat the crumbs that fall under the table. But the child eats from the table. So whatever belongs to God, you have the first access to it. So if you know your right of relationship, you don't wait on the line. Many times in those days when mama is cooking, even before she starts serving everybody else, some of us will go in there. I say it again. You know why? Because you are a child in the house. Tell your neighbor you have a relationship right. Now, so we need to change our mentality. There's some things we come to ask for in humility, but there's some things we demand as a right. Did I just say that?
Yes,
I said there are things you demand as a child of God that you can stand before the throne and say, God, you are my father. Therefore, this cannot be happening. This story cannot be like this. I refuse to let it stay because I'm your son or because I'm your daughter. I pray in the name of Jesus that all the misteaching we have received will fall today, that we'll be able to stand on the authority of God's word and demand our relationship right. God wants to take you places, but some of us, the misteaching we have gotten is refusing to let us move forward. I pray today in the name of Jesus, you'll be making quantum progress in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe that, shout it loud,
amen.
The scripture before us is an exciting one. And let me take you through a few things quickly. In order for us to understand our relationship right and use them, number one, I say you must know you are a new creation. Everybody say a new creation. It says you don't think about it. You don't hope about it. You need to know that you're a new creation, because that is the foundation to accessing your right of relationship.
Amen.
You don't walk into my house and say, well, I think I'm your son. I think so. I think you're my father. Does anybody walk in anybody's house and say that? No. I know who my children are. Even in my dreams, talk to me, somebody.
Yes.
You know who your parents are, even in your dreams. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Friends, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, I'm reading from the Amplified, you can put it up there if you have it, but it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, get this, it's how the Amplified puts it, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creation. He is reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, that is the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Your right or relationship changes your spiritual direction. If you are a child of God, everything about you is new. Can I have somebody shout a loud amen, if that's you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, everything the devil's been accusing you of, you have a right to look at him in the face and say, I don't know who you're talking about, devil.
That's right.
Because the one you knew is different from the one you're talking to now.
Amen.
So, what's your new creation reality? Are you coming to church with a church mask, but the old man, the old woman is still well and alive? If that is your situation, you do not have access to relationship rights, because you cannot pretend to be my son. If you don't know, I know who my children is. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So you need to know that you know that you know that you are God's child. And if you do know that, the scripture gives you one or two responsibilities. Give me verse number 18 quickly. The scripture says there, everybody read quickly, it says this. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. That is, he received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So, the assignment is, one of your relationship right is that you have the right, you have the ought to show somebody else the way into a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Tell anybody, that's a right.
That's a right.
You have a right to deliver somebody else from hellfire. Tell anybody, that's a right.
That's a right.
You have a right to be door opening for somebody else to see and know and receive salvation.
Amen.
Tell anybody, that's a right.
That's
if you are not doing that, you are missing some of your rights.
Amen.
The devil cannot hold somebody in bondage where you are. And you keep walking past and say, well, one day they will get to know. One day they will change. No, it's your right to go to God and say, this person can no longer be a slave to the devil.
Amen.
Talk to me, somebody.
Amen.
It's your right to go to God and say, this one and this one, they must be free because I'm demanding it.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Tell anybody, that's your relationship right. You see, if you use that right, you build a treasure for yourself.
Amen.
In heaven.
Amen.
You don't use it. The treasure chest in heaven doesn't have something stored up there. Give me verse 19 and I'm moving on to the second point quickly. It says the same thing almost. Everybody read it. It said it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men the trespasses, but canceling them. I love that. And committing to us the message of restoration of favor. So you can go to somebody and say, friend, you don't need to be under the devil anymore. Now you can be free. And he goes, what does that mean? And you break it down for them.
Amen.
And bring them to a relationship. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, from today, I begin to use my relationship right to set others free. Come on, say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus, from today, I begin to use my relationship right to set others free. So you walk in a situation where darkness is operating. You go, no. Not as long as I'm here. I need to do something to change this. Why? Because I have the right to do so. Even you young friends in school, in colleges, in middle school, whatever grades you are, you carry the light of God on the inside of you. And you should walk in there, act, talk, and behave differently. Let somebody wonder, what is it that you carry that the other children don't carry? Amen, somebody. Parents, you need to teach your children that. They don't need to grow up first. Because if they learn it from when they are young, the light shines brighter as they grow. Number two, you are redeemed a supernatural being. How did you say that, Pastor? Thank you for asking. I didn't say it. The Bible said so. But in the meantime, can you help me preach that to your neighbor? Say, neighbor, you are redeemed a supernatural being. And what in the world does that mean? John chapter 3. Give me King James if you have it. But not the Amplified. Because sometimes the Amplified is too long. I use that just when I need to break down something. Everybody reading. No, I say not Amplified. Thank you. Give me another translation. Okay. While he's looking for it, I'm going to start reading. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Are you all listening? Now we're talking about the fact that you, everybody say you. No, not talking to yourself. Talk to somebody. Say you. You are redeemed a supernatural being. You see, when we are born again, see, many of us take born again as a religious title. But there's a lot more in born again, in the same verses that we've been reading all these years. Watch what it says. Read this again. It said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So number one, you are born of the spirit. Okay, you're still preaching. You're preaching to someone. They say, you. Come on, talk to somebody from. Say, you. You are born of the spirit. Watch what it says. Give me the next verse. Let's go quickly. It said, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. We all have that title. You know what I mean. Give your life to Jesus. Confess your sin. Invite him into your heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Many of us stop there. But there's a lot more in it. I get excited as I was studying the scripture. Give me the next verse. Look at it. That's what they read. It said, the wind blows where it wants. Follow this. It said, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. Now here's the exciting part. Look at the last line. We read the last line. You say, what? So is everyone. Read that line again. So is everyone. What does that mean? Just as the wind cannot be controlled, everyone who is born of the spirit cannot be. So you are born, you are redeemed to operate in the supernatural.
Amen.
That the things that are not possible for the natural, because you are born again, you can operate there.
Amen.
Pastor didn't say it. The word says it. Everyone who is born of the spirit operates in the spirit.
Amen.
The wind can go anywhere, anytime, and nobody stops it. I declare today, no plan of the devil shall stop you again. Okay, you heard me. I want to pray that prayer again. I say, in the name of Jesus, from today, whatever stopped you before will no longer stop you. If you believe it, shout it out, amen. Everyone who is born of the Spirit operate like the Spirit operates. I'm excited. So the life I ought to live is not just to carry the born again title, but it's to operate the power of the Spirit that makes born again possible. Now, time will fail me if I go into that detail, but if you understand what is involved in being born again, it's a spiritual warfare that takes place in the heavenlies for Jesus to be able to set you free. You think he set you free to live an ordinary life? He set you free to dominate the powers of darkness. And I declare in the name of Jesus, from today, everything that I have dominated you before, you begin to dominate it in the name of Jesus. If you're ready, put your hands together and shout it out, amen. So the one that is born again operates in the supernatural. That's what the Bible says. We carry the title of born again, but don't know the power behind it. Number three. The medical or other situations are not permanent. Okay. Do I need to preach that louder?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Let's go. Say, my medical
or
other situations are not permanent. We're talking about the life you ought to live. Using the rights of relationship.
Amen.
Understanding that. I'm not saying that a child of God doesn't suffer attack.
Yes.
That's not what I said. That's not what the Bible said. But when you get to know that you know that you know who you are and what has happened,
yes,
you can step back and go, you've been here for too long.
Yes.
Now I know who I am. Now I know what right I have. In the name of Jesus, I command you, get your stuff together and get out. The confusion in your house ought not to be there. The frustrations around you ought not to be there. Today peace, tomorrow fight. Ought not to be like that.
Glory to God.
Jesus.
Are you hearing what the word of God is saying? Watch what the scripture says. Give me Luke. I mean, the scripture said in Luke chapter number 13, verse 11. Everybody read. And behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no way. Lift up and said, hold it there, please. Don't move yet. Don't move yet. I put it up in Amplified. Don't go, just leave it there. Here's how the Amplified said it. But the Lord, excuse me, and there was a woman who for 18 years had had an illness caused by a spirit, a demon spirit. She was bent double and could not straighten up herself at all. And I go, read it again. For 18 years, the devil was sitting on her back. And everywhere she goes, she was bent over. Even when there was no need to bend, she was bent because some demon was sitting on her.
My God. Jesus.
Okay, watch this. This woman was a churchgoer. She goes to church because where this happened was not on the street, it was in the temple.
Yes.
Indicating that she always went to church.
Yes.
The scripture said she was sick. Everybody could see her sick. Everywhere she went. Can you imagine how difficult that is? If you bend down for a little while, sometimes some of us, when Maya and the music ministry do, what's that song again?
Lower, lower.
Lower, lower. We can't go beyond that. You know? As soon as we try, we quickly get up. But she could not get back up. Friends, it was a demon sitting on her.
My God. My God.
Okay. Still with me. I'm not saying, that's not what the Bible said, that every sickness is caused by the devil. But some sickness are caused by the devil. Some situations are caused by the devil. Some of those things that you've been battling is the devil sitting there. He has someone who is on permanent assignment. If he needs to go to the bathroom, he sends another demon to come and replace. You know, some of you go on shift. You work 12-hour shift. You work 11-hour shift or 8-hour shift. As soon as you're leaving, somebody else is coming. For 18 years, the devil sat on her back. I pray today, in the name of Jesus, any part of your life that the devil is sitting on, today is the last day. I said today is the last day. I said today is the
last
day. Somebody's not angry. Friends, you need to be so mad at the devil and speak to the devil. Every situation in your heart that the devil is orchestrating, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now. I say right now. Somebody say right now. Say right now. Say right now. I command you, Satan, take your sword and get out. Christianity is not a gentle religion. How in the world can a person be oppressed for 18 years? Places she couldn't go, things she couldn't do. Even if her child was able to buy a car for her, she couldn't get in it because the devil was sitting on her back. Friends, hear me. We're talking about the life you ought to lead.
Yes.
The devil ought not to be sitting on you.
Yes.
Jesus.
My God.
I say Satan ought not to be sitting on you. Every aspect of your life that the devil is sitting on, you have the right to say today. Come on, somebody, say today. No, I mean right now.
Right now.
I mean this moment.
It's over.
Because I know what I ought to be dealing with. I ought not to be dealing with some demon messing around my body, messing around my children, messing around my home. In the name of Jesus, it's over. Friends, you need to look at the scripture. Take back. Take the word for me, say take back.
Take back.
Come on, come on, say it with anger. Say take back.
Take back.
That which belongs to you. Give me the next verse. Give me the next verse. The scripture said, and when Jesus saw her.
Oh, God. Thank you.
And when Jesus saw her.
Hallelujah to him.
Someone believe that Jesus is saying you are not today. Come on, there's no other place where Jesus can see you. He's saying you right here. But what if God says, where two or three are gathered in his name? When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. I can imagine the compassion in the heart of the master, knowing even without heart telling Jesus anything. For those 18 years, she's been going to church. That's a different sermon on his own. Some stay out of church because they have a situation. Friends, if God cannot help you, who's going to help you?
Amen.
You see, the devil cheats you twice. When he puts a problem on you and keeps you away from church.
My God.
Tell anyone from say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Go talk to someone, say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Don't get cheated twice.
Don't get cheated.
The same devil that is causing the problem. If the same one that says don't go to church, don't go to prayer meeting, don't talk to your pastor, don't talk to anybody, try and work it out yourself. And you've been working it out for 10 years, it's still there. For her, 18 years. But she showed up at the church. Hear me, friends. She did not know that a miracle was waiting for her that day. That's a whole sermon on its own. She did not know that a miracle was waiting for her that day. The day the devil told you to stay out might just be the day that your answer was sent to you. And you stayed home and grumbled and complained. And the angel goes back to heaven and says, why are you bringing it back? He said, well, it wasn't there today. From today, the devil will no longer cheat you. The Bible says when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, put your hand on your head. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am loose. Come on, say with anger. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am loose from every infirmity. I declare my family is loose. My children are loose. Everything around me, I declare it is loose today from every infirmity in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, come on, shout hallelujah. Jesus said to her, woman, thou art loosed. You are set free. Just by the word, her freedom was set forever. I declare today, in the name of Jesus, that your freedom is set today. Come on, somebody say, I receive it. Come on, say it again, say, I receive it. Say it again, say it again, say, I receive it. In the name of Jesus. So she was set free by the word, because she walked into the house of God. Somebody say, my medical or other situations are not permanent. Yeah, you know, I have a long sermon to go. Sometimes I cut it into two because of time. Probably today might be one of those days, but I'll finish this next point. I'm on point number 4. Put it up on the screen for me. And say, they say, your change is anchored in your relationship. That's what we started, is that right?
Yes, sir.
You know, if you read the entire passage again, you understand that things were going on. There were some naysayers in the church. Oh, okay. Okay, okay. I said that again. There were some naysayers in the church.
Yes.
But let me announce to you, they're not in this church now.
Amen.
No, they're not here.
Praise
God. You know, there were people who thought they had the audacity to challenge what Jesus did.
Come on. Yeah.
I leave that there. Look up here for me. Give me the scripture. We're in Luke 13, verse 15. We're talking about the fact that your change is anchored in your relationship. You need to know that your relationship is a package. Everybody said that. We say, my relationship with Jesus is a package. It contains, say, it contains everything I need now that I will ever need. Read this. Everybody read. He said, the Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his own ox or his ass from the store and lead him away to watering? You know why I'm not going to that scripture, but I want the next one. Give me the next one. Everybody read. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, see these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Hold it there for me. Hold it there. You're looking for where God decided for the series from, that's where you're coming from. The scripture says part of the reason why her deliverance could not be denied was because she is a daughter of Abraham. Everybody say right of relationship.
Right of relationship.
Okay, say it again. I know you heard me say rights
right.
of relationship. And I said to you, every relationship carries certain rights.
Amen.
So she walks into church. And Jesus looks at her and says, that one ought not to be suffering that.
No.
Why? Because she is a child.
Glory to God.
Because she is a daughter of Abraham, Satan had no right to bound her. Which means, if you're doing what you don't have a right to do, you're trespassing.
Yes.
You're breaking the law.
Yes.
Somebody say, in the name of Jesus,
name
Satan,
Jesus.
The law breaker
in my life,
it ends today.
Jesus
said, the reason why this woman must not go out the same way she came, it's because she is a child of Abraham. Friend, the Bible called us today the children of Abraham.
Yes.
The spiritual children.
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Which means there are some things you ought not to be dealing with.
Amen.
Stand on your feet for me, please. Stand up. Let's get a seat. I'm not done. You know that, but I'll finish it. Before you say anything, you stand there. You know yourself better than I know you. What are you dealing with that you ought not to be dealing with? Just go ahead. Recite it in your mind, first of all. No time to look around. You're not praying for anybody here. You're praying for yourself. Go ahead. What can you say is happening that ought not to be happening? And you know that you know that you're a child of God. Now go ahead and talk to God. Say from today. Go ahead, talk to God. Say from today, this situation. Mention my name. From this day, from this hour. Because I'm a child of God. This is no longer permitted. Come on, you need to get crazy right now. In the name of Jesus, begin to release your anger by your relationship, right? Sickness, you are no longer permitted. Confusion, you are no longer permitted. Everything in your family, in your life, That is happening. Declare. Say, because I am a child of God, you are no longer allowed to function in the name of Jesus. Don't be religious about this, friends. This is your right as a child of God. Now lift up your right hand for me. Lift up your right hand. I believe you have prayed. So I'm going to close with you on this. Your right hand lifted. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my right hand as a sign of holding on to your hand and on the authority of your word, and by reason of the fact that I am your child, every situation that I have mentioned, and the ones I don't remember, but I am not in your plan for me and for my life. Today, I say now, this moment, I break their hold, I break their strength, I break their authority over my life. In the name of Jesus, I declare. Say, I declare. In the name of Jesus, every situation put in place in my life by the devil and all his demons on the authority that is in the name of Jesus, I destroy them. I destroy them. I destroy them in the name of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together and bless the name of Jesus. Friends, Christianity is more than a religious relationship.
That's right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot exercise those rights. They belong to the children of God.
Amen.
That's one more quick prayer we're going to pray. Now, no, you need to give your life to Jesus. You've never done it before. I want to pray with you just where you are quickly. If you indicate by raising up your hands, I need to give my heart to Jesus. You've never done it before. I just want to know that's you, and I want to pray with you quickly. As one person, can put their hands down. Anybody else? You have not given your heart to Jesus before. You want to be able to start to exercise these rights. Raise your hand, because that's what gives you access to what we're talking about. Anybody else? Okay. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Give me your heart to Jesus before, but you know that you're not living right. And you want to rededicate your life to Jesus so that you can access this right. I also want to pray with you at the same time. Can you raise your hand, please? If you're raising a hand, please raise it, let me know. Okay, I see one person, I see another person. Okay, all of you who raise your hand, put it down, or put your hand on your chest. I just want to pray with you quickly where you're standing. And please, at the end of the service, I want you to see Wes, Evangelist Wright, and Nicholas Maxine. I'll point them out as soon as we finish praying. Those of you who raise your hand, just pray this after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you just as and I ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Give me the power to live for you every day of my life. Every chain, say it again, every chain and every yoke that Satan has put on my life, because I've entered into a relationship with you, it ends today. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Say it out, amen.